This is Patrick Hart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Viva Guadalupe. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio. Today, my guest is Father Ed Looney. He is a Marian theologian and Catholic author and speaker who serves as a priest in the Diocese of Green Bay, Wisconsin. Father Looney earned his bachelor's degree in philosophy in 2011 from Conception Seminary College. He also received a bachelor's degree in sacred theology and a master's of divinity from the University of St. Mary of the Lake, Mundelein Seminary. In 2007, Father Looney received the Sharon Schumer Pro-Life Award. He is a member of the Thomas Merton Society, the Mariological Society of America, where he was elected to be a conciliar in 2015. He is the author of 7 books and has contributed to numerous publications, including Catholic Digest, Catholic Exchange, Ignitum Today, Catholic Lane, and Homiletic and Pastoral Review. He has also appeared on EWTN-TV and radio, Relevant Radio, Catholic Channel on Sirius XM Radio, Spirit Radio, Mater Dei Radio, and Radio Maria. He can add to that list today, Patchwork Heart Radio. Thank you so much, Father, for joining me on the program.
Yes, it's very good and a joy to be with you today.
So, Father, I want to talk with you. You have such an incredible devotion to Our Lady. In knowing you and meeting you at different conferences and talking with you briefly, you have just an incredible spirituality about Mary. Can you talk to us about Mary in general? You know, this show actually airs on evangelical radio station, and there's many Protestant listeners to this program, which is wonderful. That we're allowed to be authentically Catholic on this radio show and station, but Mary is kind of foreign to a lot of them. So would you just maybe talk with us a little bit about the spirituality of Mary?
Sure, I'd be happy to do so. And what a blessing it is to kind of have this Catholic presence on an evangelical station. Now, there is a wonderful book, actually, just to plug it, The last name is Perry, but it's called Evangelicals for Mary or something like that. I think the guy's name is Tim Perry, and so kind of just looks at Mary from an evangelical perspective. And really, in my own work in the discipline of studying Mary and what we call Mariology, I've noticed that there is kind of an uptick in evangelicals and Protestants looking at Mary, especially. I've done a lot with Marian discipleship recently, and when I was preparing that, I went to some theological journals and was hoping to find some articles. And one of the best articles that I found on Mary and discipleship actually came from a Baptist minister from a Baptist theological journal. And it provided me as a Catholic and one who's really immersed in a lot of Marian writings with definitely a different and a newer perspective on Mary. So, what a joy to be able to share a little bit about Mary with them. Of course, I think is very popular, especially during Christmas. I think everybody can love Mary during Christmas, whether you're Catholic or Protestant or whatever faith tradition you might ascribe to, because that's really why Mary is so important, because she said yes, that the angel appeared to her and said, "You're to be the mother of the Lord, the Messiah, the Savior of the world." And she said, "Yes, I accept this responsibility." And so miraculously, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then in Bethlehem, as we know, was born of the Virgin Mary. So really, Mary's importance cannot be separated from that of her son. So it's because of the Lord that we can look to Mary then as an example of the Christian life, as really the first follower and the first disciple, and really one of the first evangelists, that she goes out and she shares that message with Elizabeth that she heard from the angels. So Mary, I think, is a very good model and example for us. And really, I think all Marian devotion and Marian thought should be rooted deeply within the scriptures to see Mary's importance as it's elucidated there from the four evangelists and even from the Pauline and from the Johannine literature, especially from the book of Revelation.
Sure, absolutely. And talk with us a little bit about the the doctrine or dogma of Mary being without sin? Because I know that's a sticking point with a lot of our Protestant brothers and sisters. They ask, you know, how can Mary be preserved without sin in the Catholic context or view?
Sure. Well, I think that the language that the Church prays on the feast of what we call the Immaculate Conception on December 8th, that language kind of articulates what we mean and how Mary could be preserved from the original sin. And the opening prayer for Mass that day says that, O God, you who foresaw the suffering of your Son, applied the merits of the cross at the very moment of her conception in the womb. And so really that the salvific work of Christ is accomplished on the cross when he dies for our sins, where the Redeemer takes on everything for us, and so that he takes it on and redeems it. And so the merits of the cross, God foresaw that. And so seeing the Mother of God and knowing that the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of the New Covenant would have to be holy and pure and preserved, God in his mercy really saw it fit, we believe, that Mary should be conceived without original sin. It's a dogma that really emerges, it isn't declared until 1854, confirmed 4 years later by an apparition of Mary in Lourdes, France, but people were talking about the Immaculate Conception for centuries. Even St. Bernard, one of my favorite saints in the Catholic Church, a great preacher and writer, he's called the Mellifluous Doctor, the Honey Sweet Doctor, because everything he wrote was just laced with the Word of God. He knew the Bible in and out. And so St. Bernard sometimes is monikered as a denier of the Immaculate Conception because it hadn't been fleshed out yet. So he believed that Mary was sanctified in the womb, so not from the very moment, but at some point was sanctified. Thomas Aquinas, the same thing, another great thinker, one of the great thinkers of Catholicism, and kind of gets that moniker. So it was something being talked about, and even, for many centuries, you could say.
Beautiful, beautiful. And, you know, one of the things that our church believes through private revelation is that Mary has appeared throughout history in many different places. You know, you mentioned Lourdes, France, and you mentioned that there have been approved apparitions. Can you talk to us a little bit about Marian theology and in regards to the different apparitions? And, you know, even in your home diocese, you have an approved apparition of Our Lady of Good Help up in Champion, Wisconsin. So maybe just talk to us a little bit about Mary's role in our world today.
Sure. Yeah, you know, the idea of Marian apparitions is something that can baffle our minds. And, it's very hard to understand, but we believe, because so many people throughout history have attested to the fact that they saw an apparition of Mary and she spoke to them. And we know that in the places where she has appeared and spoken, that people go there on pilgrimage and lives are changed and transformed. And so it seems credible then that this is true. And so there have been many apparitions of Mary. We can think of Lourdes, as I mentioned, which was this place known for miraculous healing. We're in the 100th anniversary of the apparitions of Fatima, that Mary in 1917 appeared to three Fatima children, Francisco, Jacinta, and Lucia, and appearing to those children, told them to pray for peace in the world. And it's 100 years now since those apparitions, and they really gained a lot of momentum this year. Lots of people have been talking about and learning about Fatima, and a blessed year to learn about that apparition of Mary. Also, as you mentioned, in my diocese, there's an apparition that happened in Champion, Wisconsin. Mary appeared as the Queen of Heaven, and it's remembered and commemorated at the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. And that was in 1859, and Mary spoke just a simple message in which she told Adele, the visionary, the woman who saw Mary, who was 28 years old, that she should pray for the conversion of sinners, to go to Mass and offer her communion for that intention, to go to confession, and then to gather the children and to teach them. all the messages that Mary speaks often have some sort of relevance to what's happening in the church at that time, that something might be going on, and so there's some sort of message that speaks to that. Fatima happened during the time of war, and then there was the looming war, the looming second war. And so Mary appears and gives a message, and really calling us to pray for peace. So really, all these Marian apparitions, no one has to believe in them. I think that the facts are pretty credible when we take a step back and look at everything around it. But there are many apparitions that have never been approved, that they've never been authenticated, but yet people still believe in them. And that's all right. But there are some that have just enjoyed the approval, saying that you know, we're willing to stake a lot on the fact that we believe Mary appeared there. And these messages always call us back to the Lord. Really, I consider them to be extensions of the prophets. The prophets were always calling people back to the conversion of life, even John the Baptist. And then maybe we could say it's an extension of the preaching of Jesus, of his message, that Mary calls us and renews that message as she appears in these many places.
I think, you know, you highlighted something in there, Father, that's very important, that her messages always draw us back to Jesus. And I want to just ask you this. We're getting ready to take our break here in the show, but can you just talk about that claim that, you know, we, or Protestants might have, that say we pray to Mary, or we worship Mary. We don't worship Mary. She's leading us to her son. How would you just respond to that, as you kind of already eloquently did?
Sure. I would say that, you know, we ask Mary to pray for us and to pray with us. And I think the Champion apparition and right outside of Green Bay is a perfect example of this. Mary says, "I am the Queen of Heaven who prays for the conversion of sinners. I wish you to do the same." So we join Mary in the prayer that she offers to God. So because she's so close to God, she's in heaven, that we believe she was taken body and soul. And because of this, then she can intercede for us. Just like any of our loved ones, if you talk to a deceased one, like my mother just passed away a week ago. And so, you know, I think that we can speak with the dead who have gone before us, and that maybe they could pray and intercede for us. That's at least what we believe as Catholics.
Wonderful. That's wonderful, Father. You just have an incredible knowledge about this, and I can't wait to come back from this break and talk with you more about your upcoming book, and which is, let me give the title real quick, A Heart Like Mary's, 31 Daily Meditations to Help You Live and Love Like She Does. So we'll talk about that on the second half of this interview. But thank you so much for joining me. We're going to take this short break. And right after this, we'll be back on Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio.
The words spoken by Our Lady of Guadalupe to Juan Diego nearly 500 years ago are almost too good to be true. Asking that a temple be built at the site of her apparition, she promised that here I will give all my love, my compassion, my help, and my protection to all those who love me, cry to me, seek me, and who have confidence in me. Here I will listen to their weepings and alleviate all their sufferings, necessities, and misfortunes. My name is Alan Napleton, and I live in Dallas, Texas. I have visited her shrine in Mexico City dozens of times, bringing my own petitions, and have found Our Lady to be true to her word. Over the years, I have brought hundreds of pilgrims to this holy place without incidents, and have now founded Viva Guadalupe, a nonprofit that provides safe and inexpensive pilgrimages to Our Lady's shrine. If you would like to take our Blessed Mother up on her promise and learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information.
This is Martha Fernandez-Ardina with your Love Minute, brought to you by rememberyouareloved.com. Do you know how precious and priceless you are in God's eyes? Let me tell you, you were worth redeeming. God the Father sent his only begotten Son to take your place so that he might die your death so that you might live his life. That's how much God loves you. Christ paid the ultimate price for your salvation so that you might enjoy eternity with God. so that God might make you again into His image and likeness. If you ever doubt how much you're worth, if you ever wonder how precious you are, think of the cross. Think of the love. Think of what God was willing to do for you and for me for the sake of our salvation and sanctification, to love us day in and day out and for all eternity. For more on love, find us at facebook.com/rememberyouareloved. And remember, you are loved.
Now back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back here on Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder. Today, my guest is Father Ed Looney. He is a priest in the Diocese of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and a Marian scholar. And we're talking with him about all the different things about Mary and some really interesting and awesome perspectives. Father, I want to talk with you about Mary's probably brightest crown, which is her rosary. The rosary, can we just talk a little bit about the rosary and why it's so important, especially as we're approaching the feast on October 7th of Our Lady of the Rosary?
Sure, I'd be happy to talk a little bit about that. Yeah, the rosary is probably the most popular form of Marian devotion that lots of people, especially the Catholics, pray the rosary. And again, you know, speaking to, you know, to your Protestant audience, that I've seen a movement of praying the rosary within some Protestant circles, even, that once we're able to get beyond a certain hang-up, that we can see some sort of value in it. And really, how I describe the rosary is that it's really just Mary opening up the photo album of Jesus's life and saying, I'm the mother of the Savior, and I want to share with you and to help you to know his story. And so she opens up the photo album and shows us these different mysteries of his life, the Annunciation, the Visitation, that Jesus and John meet in the womb, and John leaps for joy, and Elizabeth makes this prophetic proclamation, the Nativity. And, you know, so it just really goes through the life and ministry of Jesus. And so that's really what the rosary is, that she wants to help us to know who her son is. And the rosary traditionally has been attributed to Saint Dominic, that Saint Dominic was kind of combating some kind of bad thoughts or you know, bad theology, we say, about Jesus and God, called Albigensianism. And the rosary was a way that he was able to teach people the story of salvation and to respond to that heresy, and really to kind of blot it out that it no longer was. You mentioned the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary coming up on October 7th, and that's really a day that we celebrate. It used to be called Our Lady of Victory, that people from all over the world were joined in prayer one day during this battle that was happening called the Battle of Lepanto. And so the Christians were greatly outnumbered. They were surely going to be defeated, but the whole world at prayer changed. Well, the whole world at prayer united, allowed the Christians to overcome and to become victors in this battle that was happening. And so that's why the feast was called Our Lady of Victory, and later it was changed to Our Lady of the Rosary. So really, we see that the rosary is a wonderful way that we can ask Mary to pray for us, and to go through the life of the Lord.
Beautiful. And you have a book out, another book called A Rosary Litany, Father, and you kind of reintroduce the Christian faithful to a different way of maybe praying the rosary. You want to talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So the Rosary Litany that I authored last year was kind of just something that I was doing in my own personal spiritual life. I encountered it in some book or talk that I listened to, and I said, I find this to be really helpful, and I developed it and gave it to a few people who also found it very beneficial. And essentially what it comes down to is that there was a saint named Saint Louis-Marie de Montfort, and Saint Louis de Montfort, he would propose to people to pray after the name of Jesus and the Hail Mary a certain phrase. So for the joyful mysteries, it was, Thy womb, Jesus, announced by the angel, thy womb Jesus sanctifying, thy womb Jesus incarnate, thy womb Jesus born in poverty, you know, so forth and so on. And really it was, he said it was to curb distraction and everything like that. And I think he's right that if we focus on the mystery, so it's not just this repetitious thing, but that it's really something that's focused, that then we can keep the mystery before our eyes. So I came up with a phrase for each bead of the rosary. And I think what this prayer gets at is that Jesus is the center of the Hail Mary, that Jesus is the very focal point that we're looking at. And so as we pray different phrases, thy womb Jesus announced by the angel, thy womb Jesus Son of David, thy womb Jesus conceived by the Holy Spirit, it helps us to unravel the mystery of who Jesus is. And we come to know Jesus in a deeper and more intimate and personal way. You know, lots of people, when they bought this book, some of them wrote me and they said, you know, I've always wanted to pray the rosary. I thought I always just said it, but your book helped me to pray it. And so really it helps them to realize that Jesus is central to everything that we do in our spiritual lives.
Beautiful. Yeah. Jesus is a part of the rosary and, as you've so eloquently said. And so, yeah, this book may actually really be able to help our Protestant brothers and sisters understand the rosary in a deeper way as well, Father.
Maybe I'll just share a little anecdote about that. I have a monk friend who's at St. Meinrad Arch Abbey in Indiana, and they have what's called oblates, so lay people that want to take on the spirituality of St. Benedict. And one of them recommended to this Protestant minister the Rosary Litany book, and so he was using it, and so he's written me a few times just to thank me so much. And so here we have a Methodist minister who's praying the rosary and using this method because it helped him to realize, no, this isn't Mariolatry, but this is really about Jesus and that it's Christocentric.
How beautiful, how beautiful. Well, I certainly don't want to forget to talk about this most recent book that's getting ready to come out here October 6th, and that is A Heart Like Mary's. You want to talk with us about this book? Because this is one of those books that just by the subtitle is talking about, you know, making Mary's spirituality your spirituality. So maybe talk with us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the book was really inspired kind of by my spiritual director. The spiritual director had told me, he said, you love Mary so much, but where is your Marian heart? And so that was really an invitation to me to think about the heart of Mary. And I prayed about that. And I asked God every day to give me a heart like his mother so that I might love God as she loved him. And so that's what I prayed for every day. And there were certain attributes that I realized were a part of the heart of Mary, like that the heart of Mary was pure, that it was attentive, that it made intercession, that, you know, it was prayerful, so many different things that I realized that the heart of Mary was, and I began to pray for those things, and I realized that maybe this was meant to be shared with other people, and so that's precisely what happened, was that I started to write down these different attributes, and basically the first 21 days looks at the Bible, looks at the scriptures, and says, well, what can we derive about Mary's heart from her story in the Gospels? So the very first day is a heart patiently waiting. To think of Mary as this daughter of Israel who's waiting for the coming of the Messiah, and then the angel shows up. So she's a woman who patiently waited for the coming of the promised one. You know, so a heart that bears wrong patiently. That, you know, we think about her life, that Joseph wanted to divorce her quietly, and so her heart bore that wrong, and eventually God showed and God proved that this was true to those who might have rejected it. A heart filled with generous love, that Mary was one who spent herself in service of other people, that she poured out mercy from her own heart. So really it's the idea of wanting to have the heart of Mary, because if we have the heart of the one who loved God so much in this life, that then we can kind of incorporate that into our own lives. The last 10 days of the book looks at approved apparitions, as we spoke about earlier in the show. So, and I call those the desires of Mary's heart. So Mary's heart has certain desires, like she desires peace. She desires us to pray. She desires salvation for all. You know, so there are different desires, and so the idea there is to make her desires our desires, just as we make her attributes our attributes. That's really the book in a nutshell.
Beautiful, beautiful. And so, obviously, you know, Father, you can get this book on Amazon, but also at your local Catholic bookstores as well, which we always like to plug, making sure that you get go to the local Catholic bookstores. It is coming out, or I guess has maybe been released in some spots. October 6th is the official date, though. So, you know, right before the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, this book comes out. So make sure you put it on your wish lists for the holiday season as well. This is going to be a wonderful way to really just delve in, I think, Father, delve into that heart of Mary and really get a chance to, to learn more about her. You're just such a great, prolific author and have a really beautiful heart for our Blessed Mother. So thank you so much for spending time with us here today. Did I miss anything, Father? Is anything else you want to include or say as we wrap up here?
No, I think that we hit everything on the head.
Awesome. Well, Father, I will ask you for your priestly blessing for us and our listeners here on Patchwork Heart Radio.
Okay, so let us pray. Lord our God, we ask you to pour forth many blessings upon all those who hear this and who listen to this radio station, that they might be filled with great love of God after the heart of Mary. And so may God's blessing come upon each one of them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio. Until next time, from all of us at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm your host, Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about this program or Patchwork Heart Ministry, visit patchworkheart.org. That's patchworkheart.org. Or email info@patchworkheart.org. Do you want to keep your finger on the pulse of Patchwork Heart Ministry? Follow our monthly blog, Written on Our Hearts. Simply go to patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com and click subscribe and follow the on-screen instructions. That's patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com, then click subscribe. Our Blessed Mother wants only the best for her children and has given us a special place where she promises to help all those who appeal to her motherly love and protection. Telling Saint Juan Diego that here I will alleviate the sufferings of all those who love me and seek my protection. That holy place is now the site of the beautiful Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. If you would like to learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information. Our Lady may be calling you now.
Faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard?
Do you seek to make Scripture a greater part of your daily faith journey? Would you like it readily available on your smartphone or tablet? The Truth and Life Bible app delivers to your mobile device the complete Catholic edition of the Revised Standard Version of the Bible with a concordance entirely free. You will also enjoy free content from Father Robert Barron's Word on Fire, Father Jim McElhone's Word Made Clear, Jeff Caven's The Great Bible Adventure, and the Catholic News Agency. In addition, you can hear the Gospel of Mark dramatically proclaimed by world-renowned actors and actresses like Blair Underwood, Neil McDonough, Kristen Bell, and many more. The full audio dramatization of the New Testament, along with the Ignatius Study Bible, can be purchased within the app. It is available on the App Store, Google Play, Amazon Kindle, and at downloadjesus.com.